Feed on the diet, Savior. If you are not fed with this diet, you can't rise. God is about to do something with our generation. Men who are sold out to God, men who are on fire, men whose eyes are fire, men whose feet are winged. We are the ones turning water to wine. We are the ones opening blind eyes. We are the ones healing the sick. And God said, I need something done on the earth. But Eliata, and he took him. In you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Same with the king. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare that at the end of this service, burdens would have been lifted, yokes would have been destroyed, questions would have been answered. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will be glorified, we will be edified, you will be glorified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Satan will be terrified in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for answers from the throne room. Thank you for causing us to perceive the impulses from the throne room. Thank you for causing us to hear your voice, the voice behind the voice of a preacher. I give you praise and I give you glory. Lord, as you spoke to me before this morning, that in this service, there shall be workings of miracles. In the name of Jesus, there shall be harvest of testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, hearts will be touched, lives will be transformed, situations will be changed. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody say amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Those of you following online, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Please and please and please, I want you to approach this service this morning with expectations. Hallelujah. You know, there's a way situation can kick off your expectation. I mean, just kick it off, just knock it off, and then you just do things routinely. You just do things because you are asked to. You just do things religiously, or I mean, you just do things traditionally. Let me put it that way. Meaning, okay, COVID-19, lockdown, we just have to go to church. But there's no real expectation. I don't want you to be in that position this morning. It doesn't matter whether you're watching online, okay, streaming across the different platforms, or you're in the overflow hall, okay, or you're in the main hall. It makes no difference. I want you to approach this service with a sense of expectation. And I want your expectation to be like a hand reaching out. Amen. To be like a hand reaching out to receive what the Father is giving. Glory to God. Remember, in this kingdom, we have to receive what we're giving. God doesn't force things on us. Hallelujah. And I want to assure you this morning, right as you're standing or sitting, depends on where you are, the Lord has a tailor-made miracle for you. The Lord has a tailor-made testimony. Who believes me this morning? The Lord has a tailor-made word for you. Meaning that word is your size, is your shape. Oh, come on now. Meaning that testimony is your size and is your shape. Can I get an amen? So approach this service with a sense of expectation. The Lord will be speaking to us words whose impact would have last time. Glory to God. Words from heaven. Words that will position us to take our word. Lord will be speaking to us this morning. So please, let's approach this service with a sense of expectation. Hallelujah. Let your heart take a posture of receiving. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We truly give you praise. And we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Those of you following online, let's know we are together. Okay, can you hear me? On YouTube, on Mixlr, on Facebook. Can you hear me? Are we together? Are you ready? Are your expectations ready? Oh, I know there are small groups, and then we're having churches in the homes. That's powerful. Hallelujah. Trust me, the Lord will touch you. And remember to engage as much as you can online. Let's know you're there. Hallelujah. And remember to create watch parties to share the service with someone who needs to hear what we're sharing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Last week, that the only reality in your life is the love of God, and that you should anchor your soul to that love. Hallelujah. Trust in that love. Amen. And that love will never fail. Forget about what's happening. That love will never fail. It will never fail. It won't fail you. Glory to God. God is well able to take care of you. God has plans. See, I like to say this again and again. to think that the emergence of coronavirus has changed the plan of heaven is to insult God. Amen. I mean, it doesn't make sense. God is bigger than that. To think that God is God had an emergency meeting in heaven because of COVID-19 is an insult on the omnipotence of God. How somebody say, "Ah, pastor, okay, I know remotely somewhere in my mind." But you see, the way we act betrays what we really think about God. In the minds of a lot of Christians, they are thinking, okay, God is having an emergency meeting. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with angels. And they are saying, my children, what do we do? There's this outbreak that just happened. What do we do about their health? What do we do about their finances? The economy of the world is going to fail. The economy of the world is going to have challenges. So what do we do about the finances of Christians? Begin to create opportunities for them. Begin to help them with supernatural finances. No, 1,000 times no. That will be an insult on the personality of God, on the omnipotence of God. Never you think of God like that. Now, if that is not true, it means there was no emergency meeting in heaven. It means this did not take God by surprise. It means God was fully ready millions of years before this happened. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. It means it has not changed the script of God. It means it has not changed God's provision for you. It hasn't. I know it's difficult for our mind to grasp that, but as much as possible, think about this and live by it. The love of God will never fail. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. That means when you are still dangling and dancing with fear, you have not settled your heart in the love of God. Is that okay? The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. For there is no fear in love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. For God is love. And verse 18 says, we have known. Is it verse 18 or 16? That first John chapter 4. It says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Know and believe that love. Believe the love. So talk as though you are convinced that God loves you. I love the two expressions. They say, we have known. It means to know by revelation. We have known. We have known. And we have believed. We have faith in his love. Amen. Amen. You forgot this also. We have faith in his love. You need to create that atmosphere. Very important. We have faith in his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, God's love for me will never fail. And nothing can separate me from the grip of that love. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right. We started talking about 2 weeks ago. We started talking about who we are. We said we are saviors, not survivors. Hallelujah. We are saviors, not survivors. We are saviors, not survivors. And we established a lot of things in the 2 weeks that we have taught. And last week we journeyed into talking about the church that Jesus is coming for. We said Jesus is coming for a fully activated church. Now, if you miss the last 2 Sundays, you can get the materials on our e-library, amen, and just listen to them. So I'll just take it on. I'll just do a recap for last week Sunday and take it on from there. You know, we entered into talking about how that Jesus is coming for a fully activated church. How many of you remember that? I said a fully activated church is a church where both the pulpit and the pew, quote and unquote, are involved in ministry, are involved in providing solutions to the world with supernatural edge. How many of you remember that? We said that is the destiny of the church. The church is not supposed to be a place where people come on Sunday to hear a word of advice and then the pastor collects offering and tithes from them and then they go home and in their mind think, well, we are Christians waiting for Jesus to come. No. The church is actually a breeding ground for saviors, a breeding ground for ministers, a breeding ground for helpers of the world, a breeding ground for solution providers to a generation. Very important. Very important. So that's what we call a fully activated church. And we saw it here and there in scriptures. Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah talked about what he saw. And he said, in the last days saith the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. So if the nations are not flowing to the church yet, it means the church is not fully activated yet. Glory to God. We also saw in Ephesians 5 that Jesus said he's coming for a church. Okay, he's coming for a church that is glorious. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, we saw that they went everywhere after they were scattered. In verse 2, verse 4, he said they went everywhere preaching the gospel. So every believer who was scattered was involved in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you following me this morning? Jesus is coming for a fully activated church. A church that is peacey, providing solution, giving answers. And we categorized the answers last week. We said salvation, which is the number one answer that the world needs. Salvation of the soul. Salvation means establishing the lordship of Jesus in the hearts of people. That is very important. If you go build hospitals and that is not done, you have not done, you've done nothing. But the building the hospitals for those who need it is also important. Amen. But first things first. So salvation in the heart of men. Who is supposed to carry salvation to the heart of men? Who is supposed to establish the lordship of Jesus in the heart of men? The church. Not just evangelism, pastors. Who is a healing to the nations. Bodily healing. Emotional healing. Healing of lands. Healing of families. Psychological healings. And I quickly emphasized last week that the healing that the world needs is beyond physical healing. How many of you are aware that depression and mental illnesses are on the rise? Suicide is on the increase. And that tells us something. Who is going to bring the answer? The psychologist? You are wasting your time. The world? Except the psychologists are spirit-filled. The government of nations? No. We are the answers. We are the answers. Glory to God. We are the answers. The church is the answer. From that, we talked about social works and justice. How could human trafficking be the fastest growing crime in the U.S.? I mean, the world is in a mess. And I tell you the truth, I line up. The answers that the political leaders can give are just palliative. The real answers will come from the church. Are you listening? This is why every believer must be activated to get into ministry. To get into solving problems in different spheres. You will locate your area of calling and get involved. Glory to God forevermore. And this is why we say providing answers with supernatural edge. Because it is impossible. How are you going to solve the social issues? How are you going to bring answers to the healing that the minds of men need, that territories, families need, without the supernatural? Without the power of God, without being aided from the heavens, it's not possible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very important. So we journey into talking about, from there we moved into talking about the making of saviors, right? Hallelujah. The making of saviors. And we'll take it on from there. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We are saviors, not survivors. We are saviors, not survivors. Our sense of identity and our conviction about our status and purpose in God is very critical to the quality of life we will live on the earth. I read that out again. Our sense of identity and our conviction about our status and purpose in God is very critical to the quality of life we will live on the earth. No man, listen to this, no man ever lived a quality of life that was better than the quality of his revelation of himself. No man. That means the quality of your life, the excellence of your life. And really, that is what greatness is. Greatness has nothing to do with what men give to you. It has nothing to do with the title they give you. It has nothing to do with the position you occupy in the organization. Greatness has everything to do with the quality of your personality and the weight of your words. Are you listening? That is what greatness is. But you see, you can never be great if you don't truly have a revelation of who you are and why you are. You can never be great. So when we talk about greatness, not survival, we are saviors, not survivors. This is an attempt to clarify your identity. and to help you build so that you can begin to give true impacts. You can begin to give true answer, true solutions to the dying world. And as we go through scriptures, you see that it really has nothing to do with being a superhuman. It has nothing to do with your background. It has everything to do with discovering and having an encounter with God and discovering who you are and receiving the word of God and answering your call. A lot of the people that God used all through scriptures are patriarchs, started from somewhere. A lot of them had, they lived as though there was no vision for tomorrow. A lot of them had weaknesses in their flesh. A lot of them had limitations from their background. But they threw others aside and answered the call of God. That is what God needs you to do. Hallelujah. Is somebody with me this morning? Have you noticed that in scriptures, and I'm going to show you some scriptures that will amaze you and bless you at the same time. Have you noticed that every time God wants, now what I'm about to say is consistent with scriptures. Every time God wants to raise and release a man to begin to provide true answers, and by man I mean he man and she man, amen, are we together now? Male man and female man. Every time God wants to raise a man and release him into being a solution provider, an answer giver, a savior to his family, to his city, to his generation, to his nation, he clarifies your identity. He clarifies your identity to you. He shows you who you are and what you can do in him. And then he gives you the guarantee of his presence and of his sponsorship. I was amazed when I began to study the Bible. I was amazed that this is the fundamentals of God's dealings with people. The people who call patriarchs in the Bible. Their lives changed when God met them and told them who they were and what they could do. And then guaranteed his presence with them and guaranteed his sponsorship. That means, listen, this is who you are. This is who I've made you. This is what you can do. But you will be sponsored by me, not sponsored by your flesh. Those two things, very important. We see that in the life of Moses. When you read Exodus 3 to 6, Exodus chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, you'll be amazed that it was full of instructions and arguments. God, you will think that after Moses saw the burning bush, he will run to Pharaoh and tell the Lord, no. He argued again and again until chapter 7, Ayakabota, when God told him who he was. He said, Moses, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. Ministry started. Are you listening to me? Clarity of identity. Who am I and why am I? I'm serious. You can study it for yourself. God will tell him, drop this, it turns to serpent, go and meet Pharaoh. Okay, do it before you let my people go. You go there, face challenges and say, Lord, they will not answer me. Lord, I cannot even talk. At the point, God was angry with him. He said, is this not your brother Aaron? Can't he talk for you? But when you get to chapter 7, when God said, I have made you, Marcos Cavaya, I have made you a God, it did something to him. You should be able to use one word to describe who you are. No vagueness. I have made you a God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron shall be your prophet. That's chapter 7, verse 1. When you go to verse 6, ministry started. The Bible says, and Moses was 80 years old when he began ministry. I'm paraphrasing now. I mean, what has he been doing from chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 6? Clarity of identity. Clarity of identity. The conversation in Judges chapter 6. We'll read some of the scripture as I quote them. You can just put them up. In Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord met a man called Gideon. Gideon was so timid that he was hiding in the threshing floor, hiding from the Midianites. He wasn't just afraid. There was the way he saw himself. Because when the conversation continued and God introduced himself to him. No, I love the salutation. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Are you there? Put verse 12 there for me. We can start from just... thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Who is a mighty man of valor? A warrior. A battle warrior. That's a mighty man of valor. That was a clarification of his identity. He said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Me, mighty man of valor. And then he began to argue. But the point is, from this time, his life wasn't the same. And God spoke to him. He said, I'm with you. Go, and you will smite the Midianite as one man. Again, we saw God describing a man to that man. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a man of war. Why are you hiding? Go and deliver the children of Israel. Go in this thy might. He didn't say, I've given you might. He said, go in this thy might. Suddenly, his perception of himself changed. Are you listening to me? He saw himself as a mighty man of valor. What the Bible says, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he blew the trumpet and Abiezer was gathered after him. He called and the whole clan gathered. Why? His perception about himself has changed. Listen, your life will not amount to much until you locate yourself in scriptures. Until you say, look, this is who I am and this is why I am. Clarification of identity. Listen, life is not primarily about doing and having. It's about being. That is where life starts. About being. You remember the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus in John chapter 3? Bible said Nicodemus, who was the leader of the people, a Pharisee, came to Jesus by night and said, Master, Rabbi, no man doeth these things except God. He said, that was the teacher sent from God. For no man doeth these things. On the line, doeth. That is always the focus of the natural man. That is always the focus of the carnal Christian. Doing and having. That's the focus. What more can I do? What more can I have? But the more you journey in the things of the Spirit, the more you sojourn with God, the more you will know that, look, the fundamentals of life is being. Because with who you are, you can have and do. Are you listening? With who you are, you can have and do. With who you have become by revelation and training, you can have and do. And it starts by that revelation of identity. Who are you? Who are you? Have you received God's word that you are a savior from Mount Zion? Have you received God's word that you are born as an answer to someone's prayer? Have you received God's word that your life is more than existing? Have you received God's word that there is a purpose to your life? You are born for a purpose. You are born to provide answers with supernatural edge. Or you are still judging yourself by the past. You are still judging yourself by your experience. You are still judging yourself by your skill sets, by the abilities of your flesh. The revelation of who you are. The revelation of who you are. The revelation of your identity. Clarity of identity. Jesus told him, this thing doesn't start by doing. Except a man be. Did he see that? He came, no man can do. Jesus said, no, this thing starts by being. Except a man be born again. Get no one nothing. To be God from above. To be get from above. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot participate in the activities of the kingdom. So Jesus says, listen, real life is primarily being something. Except a man be born again. Who are you? What are the persuasions of your heart about you? Who are you? Why are you on earth? What can you do that you are not yet? What can you be that you are not yet? The potential of your spirit, the revelation of your identity. He said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. I mean, he was hiding. Probably in his mind, he thought He had nothing to offer. Probably in his mind, there was a conflict. I think I can. I think I cannot. I think I can. And God told him, you are a mighty man of valor. Go in this might. You will smite the Midianite as one man. Clarity of identity. When we say we are saviors, not survivors. Clarity of identity. That's what I wanted to get from this service. Clarity of identity. Clarity of identity. Clarity of identity. Oh, even Paul, when Jesus met him, you know, he was giving the account of his encounter with Jesus to the King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, let's go there. Acts 26, put up verse 6. Put up verse 5 for me, from verse 5. He was giving the account of his encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus to King Agrippa. He said, testify after the most straight. Next verse. No, verse 20. It should be verse. Just a moment. Oh, glory to God. Is somebody getting blessed? 14 to 16. 14 to 16. Not 4 to 6. 14 to 16. He says, and when we were all falling to the earth. You know, I love Jesus. He does things with style. This guy has been persecuting the church. He was wild. I mean, Paul was wild. And he did it out of the innocence of his heart. He did it out of the zeal for the religion of his fathers. He was practicing Judaism. So he thought that Christianity was just a sect of Judaism that is in heresy. That's what he thought. And with the passion of his heart, he fought and persecuted them. But Jesus saw him as a man he could use. I love God. He doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He doesn't see you the way others sees you. He sees what you can be that you are not yet. And that is why the more you grow in the things of the Spirit, the more you value humans. Why you look at them with the eyes of God. You don't see them with their difficulties, with their limitations, with their weaknesses. No. When you see them with possibilities. You see them through the eyes of God. You see who they can be that they are not yet. And that is a mark of a true leader. Because the highest call of leadership is raising other leaders. So in followers, you can see leaders. Are you here? So Jesus saw Paul. I mean, he was Saul of Tarsus then. He saw him and saw a great apostle. And then he collided with him on the way to Damascus. I mean, he did not just appear to him in a dream and say, no. He gave him a classical encounter that he will never recover from. With style. All right, let's read it. He says, and when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why do you persecute me? You know, every time I read this portion of scripture, it tells me of our union with Christ. Jesus didn't say, why persecutest my church? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? No. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen, anything that touches us touches Jesus. We are united with him. We are one with him. The church is not separate from Christ. No. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Whatever touches us touches him. There's blood between us and him. Glory to God. Why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Next verse. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I mean, he had to call him Lord. For a man to knock you down, he is Lord. Molaga vayada. He said, who art thou, Lord? Lord means owner. I mean, when you fall off and nobody hits you, you will call him Lord. Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. This, I am the Lord of the people you are persecuting. No, he says, I am Jesus whom thou, we are one with him. We are one with him. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Next verse, which is where we're going. Next verse. But rise. You know, God doesn't have time to be, to, he's not petty. Thank you. God is not petty. I mean, these guys have killed people. He killed Stephen, and Jesus knocked him off. He says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He didn't say, why did you do this? Lord, he said, but rise, tire. God is not petty. In the same encounter, he commissioned him. He said, but rise. He said, I'm not taking actions against you. But rise. But rise and stand up upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. You got born again for a purpose. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of the things which I shall appear unto you for. To make you a minister and a witness. Identity clarified. To make you a minister and a witness. To make you a minister and a witness. In case you are not convinced, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, go there. That was the last word that Jesus spoke to the church before he left. Yes, go into the world and make disciples of all nations was not the last word. It wasn't the last word. The last words that came out of the mouth of the master before he was taken to heaven was Acts 1:8. And that is instructional, that is instructive, that is remarkable. We must pay attention to it. The last word that gave us our identity. He clarified our why, who we are and why we are. The last words, look at this. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. You shall be what? Witnesses. Our identity is clarified. He shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses. We are witnesses of the Lamb. We are witnesses of the Lion. We are witnesses of Christ. Who is a witness? A witness is a proof producer. A proof producer. You produce proof that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You produce proofs that Jesus is alive, is not dead, that he was raised from the dead. You produce proof that God loves the world. You can't say, oh, Jesus loves you and God loves you. No, you have to prove it. This is why I'll talk about solutions with supernatural edge. He must be proved. You know, when you study Exodus, at the instance when the second time Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, thus hear the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, let my people go. He said, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. And he added something that amazed me. He said, okay, come and do a miracle to show that a God sent you. That was what Pharaoh said. He said, you are sent by a God. Come and do something. Aya, to show that God sent you. We have been talking too much. It's time to show forth that God sent you. You say God sent you to the fashion industry. Show it. God sent you to the business world. Show it. God sent you to politics. Show it. God sent you to sing and preach. Show it. Oh, you think the people in those industries don't have gods that they worship? They are assisted from another realm. You come and show that you were sent by Jehovah. That's what Pharaoh told him. He said, oh, come and show it. If that was where he dropped the rod and he turned to serpents. But it tells you of the mentality of the hidden. That if you claim a supernatural personality sent you have to prove it. You have to prove it. You know, we're still talking about the making of a savior. Clarifying your identity. You have to show it. You have to show it. So look at what this is. Are you guys with me this morning? Online, are you with me? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. You shall be proof producers. Proof producers. By the time you bring a business model to that fashion industry that is not found anywhere else, but spreading your products to the nations, people will listen. Proof producers. Amen. Proof producers. And it may not come while you're on your bed and sipping tea. You will stretch in the spirit. You will declare 40 days fasting and prayer, 7 days, 3 days, 14 days, 21 days. You know, I watched the interview Bishop Jakes had with Mrs. Funke at, Mrs. Folorunsho Alakija, thank you. Oh, she said her license, it took her 40 days prayer and fasting, how many times to get the license? I mean, the government wanted to harass her to take what belongs to her. More prayer and fasting. She did not plan to be a minister. Those praying and fasting made her a minister. She did. So that's how it started. In fact, she was a Muslim. And she heard that the God of the Christians answer prayers. That's all. She picked her Bible one day. She had done everything. She was tired. Marco Patosa. She became a billionaire in dollars, the richest black woman at the point. Proof producers. Proof producers. So you see, enough of that talk, the preparation for ministries of those who are pastors, evangelists, apostles, and prophets and teachers. That time has gone. That time has gone. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. And the cost of your preparation is the same. You do hear what I said? There's no inflation. There's no deflation. There's no subtraction for you. The cost is the same. You know, it's a hard truth that the church must be awakened to. It's a hard truth. You will fight devils in the marketplace. You will fight. Who told you? See, except you want to compromise. If you want to be a true witness of the Lamb, you will face devils in the marketplace. You will. Why do we have Christians bending at the slightest pressure? They were not raised. They were not cooked as saviors. They were not cooked to represent the interest of the kingdom on the mountains. They were not. They thought, listen, make up your mind that you not only carry Christian name, you carry Christian power. Ah, yeah. Are you listening? Your name is John. That is not all. You say, I am John. God has called me to politics. That should not be all. Carry Christian power into politics so that there is clarity. All this confusion, enough is enough. A Christian, his name is John Daniel. He's corrupt. He's wicked. He's evil. He's occultic. Sometimes they didn't go there with the intention. It's because the vicissitudes of the sphere bend them. Are you listening? So don't just carry Christian name. Carry Christian power. Don't carry Christian name to your sphere. Carry Christian power. Hey, don't carry Christian name in providing solutions to the problems of the world. Carry Christian power. Carry Christian power. We are witnesses. You saw it. Put it up, verse 8, Acts chapter 1. We are witnesses of the Lamb. Moka batoskelia brondoska. We are witnesses. Unto me, you shall be witnesses of proof producers. Proof producers. Proof producers. Both in Jerusalem, you have to start from somewhere. And in all Judea, and God begins to increase and expand your influence. In all Judea, can you see? And in Samaria, and on to the utmost part of the earth. Your destination is global. You may not start globally, but your destination is global. But you see, it begins with the clarity of identity. I am a witness. I am a savior from Mount Zion. And why did I say this was the last words that came out of the mouth of Jesus? Look at the next verse. Put the next verse up for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And when he had spoken these things, why they beheld? He was taken up. He was taken up. Those were the last words from the lips of the Master. And he told them, this is your identity. And I give you the endorsement of my presence and sponsorship. Dunamis. Are you listening? Oh, I give you the endorsement, the guarantee of my presence and of my sponsorship. My presence is the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you to stay upon you, no, to live in you. That is his presence. What followed? He says, power. power, power, power. That is a sponsorship. Hallelujah. Feel the anointing of God's Spirit upon me. Listen, as I'm talking to you, miracles are happening. As I'm talking to you, open your heart and receive testimonies. Are you listening? Let your expectations reach out. I told you, approach this service from the standpoint of expectations. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Is somebody blessed this morning? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when the Lord gives you this clarity of who you are and why you are, it may be contrary to your background, your skill sets, your evaluation of yourself. But listen, it makes no difference. Paul said, he that has called us and has anointed us is God. It makes no difference. This is what we'll talk about making. When Jesus met them in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he said, follow me. Yours is to answer the call. The making is his responsibility. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. It doesn't matter what the Lord is putting in your heart to do. It may look like you don't have the background for it. You don't have the skill set for it. You don't even have the personality. Listen, you know, all those, there's a level. When we talk about, okay, what you can do is an indication to your call. It's a level. How could God call Moses to be a speaker when he was a stammerer? Amen. Sometimes it doesn't follow. You have to understand that. This is why, listen, you do not fulfill God's calling with human abilities. Those giftings are there. They aid your call sometimes. But you have to know that, look, fulfilling the call of God on your life has to be by the empowerment of the Spirit. It must come from that understanding. Are you listening? The empowerment of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The empowerment of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 4, look at this. And he said unto them, go to verse 18. Let me just show you something there very fast to clarify the concept of purpose for you. You know, a lot of times people fast and pray and say, Lord, show me my purpose. Let me show you something here. And then people stay idle and say, to me, I don't know my purpose yet. I don't know. When I know my purpose, I'll be more serious with life. When I know my purpose, I'll be more committed. Now I'm just working in this man's company. Listen, you don't find purpose. Purpose finds you. Did you hear what I said? You don't find purpose. And I'll show you from this scripture. You don't find purpose. I know I just scattered somebody's. You don't find purpose. Purpose finds you. Go and read. If you can show me one place from the Old Testament to the New Testament where people fasted and prayed to find purpose, I'll buy you lunch. If you can show me one place, he was fasting and praying, Lord. No. What happened? They were busy adding value. Their hands were engaged serving God and serving humanity. And in the process, they found purpose. That's God's system. Oh. You will not find purpose. Oh. Purpose will find you. You will not. Look at this. And Jesus walking. That's something to tweet. Amen. After service. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That means Jesus called busy people. He called people that were engaged. Amen. That's a word for someone. Glory to God. What did the Bible say? He said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with the whole of your heart. There are people that become idle, that become unproductive. They have become uncommitted and disloyal because they are finding purpose. How could a young man be in church instead of him to settle down, serve, become a cell leader, win souls? He's waiting. Oh, God has not called me yet. I don't know. Maybe God will call me to start ministry. When he does, I'll be more serious. You are a joker. You are not going anywhere. this fasting and praying to hear his purpose, what God has called you to do. You are joking. You will hear your head. You will hear your head. You understand? A lot of people who have gone to start ministry hurt themselves. They call themselves. They use another sim to call themselves. And then they pick the question, say, hey, bros, you are called. And sent. Are you joking? You can't find one place in the Bible. You find a place where you add value. You find a place where you are solving problems. And then you get, what do we mean by purpose? Specificity. God begins to instruct you. Your heart begins to lead you. Are you listening? Are you blessed this morning? He now said, follow me, verse 19 now. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. The Greek word there means to produce, to manufacture, to fashion. Did you see that? To produce. That connotes process and products. To produce, to manufacture. Follow me and I will make you. We're talking about the making of a savior. The cooking of a savior. How God makes you as a solution provider. Most times God makes us on the job. I told you that last week. But he makes us anyway. He makes you on the job. But there's a making. Oh, there's a making. There's a fashioning. There's a producing. For a man to truly represent the interests of the kingdom. To be a true witness of the Lamb. You will be made. You will be cooked. God will make you. God will produce you. But you have to follow him. You have to answer the call. You have to yield. It takes time and patience. But it's worth it. Listen, in making, there's a dimension of God you must understand and relate with. It's called the potter clay dimension. Aye. The potter clay dimension. Jeremiah chapter 18, I believe, talks about it. The potter clay dimension. He said, oh, house of Israel, can't you see me as the potter and yourself as the clay? Have you ever seen what the potter does to a clay? He mixes, meaning there's going to be some squeezing. There's going to be some loss of control. There's going to be some molding. Some remolding. You will pray and pray and pray. You will source it and source it. You will serve in the house of God. And it's as though nothing has changed. Why? Because what God has in mind is beyond the immediate answers you want. He's molding you. God is more interested in making us than in giving to us. Why? I told you at the beginning of the service. It is with who you are that you can do and have. So God is interested in your being. The potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. The making of a savior. Are you listening? You will submit yourself. You will lose control. In John chapter 12, the Bible said the Greeks came to see Jesus. You know, that scripture blesses me. The Greeks came and they met Philip. We will see Jesus. Let me tell you, why are they all always meeting Philip? Jesus had protocol. There was a structure to his ministry. When you read, when the children came to him, it was to Philip. When there were 5,000 people to feed, it was Philip. When the Greeks came and they wanted to see Jesus in John chapter 12, it was Philip. There's protocol. If it has to do with money, it was Judas Iscariot. If it was PR, it was Philip. Are you here? Is somebody here? Are you learning something? In John chapter 12, let's just read it. It's the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, will see Jesus, right? And Jesus answered them. And Philip came, verse 22. Philip comes and tells Andrew. And Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them. Answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be, talk to me somebody, should be glorified. He gives us the key. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he Excuse me. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Remarkable. So what does death mean? He spoke about himself literally. For us, it's attitudinally, in our attitudes, in our mindset, in our operation. We're talking about the making of a savior. You will follow him and you will let him. Now, I'm not talking about a Christian who is on serious, who is suffering and say, the Lord is making me. I'll show you exactly how it works very quickly. I'm still laying foundation. The Lord is not making you. Laziness is making you. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So, these are just the dealings of God. There's a difference. In the process of time, it will change. Not necessarily. Things don't change with time. Time is a revealer of things. Time is a revealer of the investments you have made in the secrets. Are you listening? Let nobody lie. Things don't change with time. Things don't change with time. Things change with the application of truth. That means if truth is not engaged, there's no guarantee of change. Things don't change with time. Are you here? Are you here? All right, so we said God has a method to making. And God's method to making is called beholding and becoming. I'm just trying to enter into this thing now. Beholding and becoming. Beholding and becoming. Listen, any attempt to do it another way will produce religion, frustration, hypocrisy. That's God's method. Beholding and becoming. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. You can put it up. Beholding and becoming. Now it's very important you get this. Because a lot of times you're talking about, oh, the Lord is making me. And they really never got made. They just heard the language. Oh, God makes us. Follow me and I will make you. And then they were suffering. They say, Lord, the Lord is making me. And they never got made. How do you know? I told you that your result is the testament that you were made. I said something like that last week. Can you remember? I said the result. The Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. The result you produce is a proof that you are made. Question. Did the apostles become fishers of men or not? Paul, Peter, in one day stood and won 3,000 people. The next time, 5,000. The next time, city. Multitudes. That was the testament that he was made. He was the one that Jesus said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. He was made. At the point they looked at them, looked at their results, and they said, these men have turned the world upside down. The men who have turned the world upside down, they are here. Their result was the testament of their making. Are you listening? Wisdom is justified over children. Making is justified over children. If the Lord has groomed you, has made you, the results will show. So we have to be sure that you have been made. And to be sure that you have been made, you have to understand God's method of raising people. God's method of training people. God's method of transforming people. God's method of infusing himself into people. Of forming Christ in people. It is called beholding and becoming. And that's nothing to do with being goofy, spooky, and religious. You can be shaking all you want. Every day, just say, God, Lord. If it's not subscribed, if it's not according to God's pattern of raising people, you are not being raised. You are not being raised. How do you know you are raised? Your response to the storms of life. How do you know you are raised? your response, your attitude to the pressures of life. How do you know you are raised? What do you do when you are faced with mountains? What do you do? A Christian that is still talking about the mountain has not been raised. A believer who is raised talks to the mountain. He sees obstacles as blastable mountains. He sees himself on the other side. I either cut through, go round, or remove it. Are you listening to me? So beholding and becoming. Is he up there? Is it about we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord? Hallelujah. Let me check my time so I can keep myself in track. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? Say, the Lord is making me. I'm yielded to his making. I'm yielded to his building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. I'm getting blessed. Is it about we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of God are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord? He shows us the material for the transformation. He shows us the method for the transformation. He shows us the personality behind the transformation. The material for the transformation is called the mirror of God. That's the word. When you study James, you will see James 1, you will see there. The method is beholding. The personality behind it is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. That means this: with these three things, you can connect your future to your now. I told you, any future you can't connect to today doesn't exist. You are wasting your time. If you can't connect what you are seeing to today, it doesn't exist. And the bridge over that gap is these three things. The word, staying to behold. And I'll tell you what beholding means. And then the personality for the transformation, the Holy Spirit. He said, we are with open face. He didn't say open faces. Open face, meaning the lens is one, is called Christ. With open face, beholding as in a glass, beholding as in the mirror, as in the word, the glory of the Lord. And we are changed. We are transfigured. We are metamorphosed. Transformed into the same image. The same Peter who was filled with excuses, doubt, unbelief, even denied Jesus, became a mighty warrior. Became a mighty witness. He stood and confronted multitudes and led 3,000 to Christ. First instance, what happened? He has been made. He has been made. That means even when his name was still Simon, Simon means a reed shaken by the wind, unstable. And you notice every time he misbehaved, Jesus called him Simon. When he behaved well, he called him Peter. Don't go and read your Bible. It's amazing. Ooh, glory to God. Say, I'm more than this. Shout it, I am more than this. I'm a witness of the Lamb. I'm a savior on Mount Zion. I provide solution with supernatural edge in the name of Jesus. Say, the Lord is making me on the job. And I'm yielding to the making. The Lord is grooming me on the job. And I'm yielding to the grooming. In the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I just have to rush this. So I wrap up. We're starting a new series on Sunday. Accept, amen. Accepting God's thought. Hold on. What does it mean to behold? Just three things. How to behold. Three things. You can use the acronym AMA. AMA. Number one, accepting God's thought and words as absolute truth. Number two, meditation. Number three, acting on the word. In bracket, obedience. Have you gotten that? All these things, I can take them as 1 hour messages each. Maybe we'll just wrap up on Tuesday so that we can begin a new series on Sunday. Amen. This is our month of flourishing in adversity. Amen. Amen. It's our month of flourishing in adversity. It's our month of flourishing in adversity. Amen. And then we're going to do a teaching every Sunday. Flourishing in adversity. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. You know what it means to flourish? It means to thrive. It means to have vigorous growth. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forevermore. So I said, accepting God's thoughts and word as absolute truth. Number two, meditation. Number three, acting on the word of God in obedience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so we'll start from number one, accepting God's words or God's thoughts as absolute truth. Listen, many Christians don't believe the word of God as absolute truth. They don't believe it. You now understand what James meant in James chapter 1 verse 21. You can put it up. Many Christians don't believe the word of God as absolute truth. How do I know that? This is a reason for the lack of results in the body of Christ. Especially among believers. Among believers, among preachers. Why? We actually have people hold their opinions. In fact, they call it opinions. If you're a Christian, you don't have an opinion. The first thing you lost the day you got born again was your opinion. That means you handed over your opinion. It didn't exist. You don't have an opinion. You must accept the word of God as absolute reality. You must accept God's thoughts as absolute reality. You hear a Christian say, okay, I know that's what the Bible says, but you must be smoking pokey somewhere. You must be smoking a pot somewhere. You see, I know the Bible says, but you are smoking something. I mean, we show you something from scriptures, it's clear. You still act otherwise. That is rebellion. That is what we call unpersuadableness, disobedience. Listen, this is why their carcass is the wilderness. God saw, he said, you shall know my breach of promise. That land you know enter. God was angry. The Bible says, against whom was the Lord angry? Are you listening? Accepting the word of God as absolute truth. Listen, you're watching me. Accept, you know, listen to me. Learn to accept the word of God as absolute truth. When we say the word of God, we're talking about his way of doing things, his precepts, his principles, his truth, his promises, his realities, the things he has said are fact and settled. Accept them as absolute truth and reality. This is where humility comes in. Meaning you hear God speak, you drop every other thing off your hand and off your life like hot potatoes. You drop them off. You drop them off. You know, when some ladies still come and meet me and say, this is the person I want to marry. I know, and they have been attending Colors of Love. I know many Christians don't take the word of God as absolute truth. Listen, you cannot behold. Listen, you cannot behold. What did he say? He said, we all with open face, not faces. Your face is not supposed to show. You look to the eyes of Christ. Are you listening? You don't have an opinion. You don't have an opinion. He said, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That is absolute. Absolute. You want God to make you? You will accept God's word as absolute truth. Absolute truth. Marriage is honorable unto all things with a bed undefiled. Absolute truth. You accept it. How could I went somewhere years ago. I saw a young man who is supposed to be a campus pastor of a ministry. He was in a lady's house over the night and coming. I said, you are sick. Something must be wrong with you. Something must be wrong with you. You receive the word of God, listen, as absolute truth. You don't have any other opinion. Are you listening to me? This is where humility comes in. Do I have that? He said, wherefore,
Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love this. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted one, which is able to save your soul, which is able to transform your soul, which is able to transfigure your soul and your personality. Humility. We have shown you that tithing is not Old Testament. The transaction, the conversation in Genesis 14 is not an Old Testament conversation. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. Those are communion elements. He was the type of Christ. So there's nothing Old Testament about it. Moses established it as a tax, as a law of taxation for the children of Israel. But for us, we don't tithe according to the law of Moses. We tithe through Abraham. But a Christian will not hear. Are you listening? Am I talking to you? That is the first step. Accepting his thoughts and his words as absolute truth. Absolute truth. Listen, I told you that's what that death is. Loss of control. Loss of control. Lord, I'm done. I can't do things based on my brain, based on how I've calculated it. Your word is all. Your word is fine. Try it and see what the Lord will do with your life in a short time. Are you with me this morning? The making of a savior. The making of a solution provider. Listen, you have nothing else. He is the potter. You are the clay. You have nothing else. You have lost control. He is the master. You are the servant. You have become a lost slave. You have become a bond servant. Your opinion doesn't. You don't have an opinion anymore. His word is absolute truth. He said, receive with meekness. Receive with humility. Receive. Listen, this is how we will come. This is how we will jam our word with the power of God. To think that you can carry the power of God. I told you, don't just carry Christian name. Carry Christian power. To think that you can carry Christian power without submitting your opinion and receiving, accepting his word as absolute truth is a waste of time. His word is absolute truth. His thought is absolute truth. What he says you can do, you can do. Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Listen, the way to life is death. Are you listening? The way to life is death. The way to higher impact is death. Are you listening to me? Loss of control. Some people are so much in control of their lives. Don't be. Give him all. As you listen to me, give him all. Give him all. We all with open face. With open face, one face. One passage, one face. Hallelujah. 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 Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? Start speaking in tongues where you are. Liba kasa shata. Jebrende kepetosule keprekepotososho to kepra. Entoko brekepotososho to kepra. Jepetoko brekepososho to kobrekepososho to kobrekepososho to. Em jeledaga brekepososho to kobrekepra. Jeledaga brekepososho to kobrekeposa. Ilako seshte brundo kobrekeposa na ni ade de 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 de. Iaroga bayarosa. Can you begin to pray the things you have heard? Lusa matena la tela basa litopatosa shepetolaba. And you begin to pray, Lord, I am yielded to be made. I am yielded to be cooked. I am yielded to be manufactured. I am yielded to be made. Thank you for showing me, for clarity of identity, for clarity of identity, that I am a witness, that I am a savior, that I am a Messiah, oh, that I am a solution provider. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are watching online in the halls. I want you to write down your expectation for the week. Write down your expectation from this service. What do you want the Lord to do? The anointing for miracles, for the workings of miracles is upon me. Write it down. Let's put the power of God on it. Very quickly, carry your note. What do you want this week? Money, a job, a healing, relationship restored, the Lord to touch someone who is close to you, the salvation of a loved one. Just write one or two things that you want the power of God to come on, that you are releasing your faith for right now in this service. Makoposa, the anointing is upon me for the workings of miracles. Horabakososhoto. Write them down. One or two, no more than two. Write them down. We're going to direct the power of God on it. I'm seeing workings of miracles in the area of finances. Malakapo. So I'm sure a lot of you have financial expectation. Write it, don't be ashamed. God is interested in your finances, so write it. Makopato sileko brekeposa. Haya. Malako sebrektosista. Those of you in the overflow, write it. I've not forgotten you. The power of God will touch you right where you are. The power of God will rest upon those expectations and turn them into testimonies. If you are done, you can lift it up. Watching me online, if you are done, fold it and lift it up. And remember to share your testimonies. In this new week we are entering, Ligo Prakaposa. Liba, you need healing in your body. Write it down and put your body there as I pray. I'm about to release something to you. Lipa koskeba latosa. Shebronda kibala koskeba. Shebrakoskeba latosa. Shelekebronda sushta. There's somebody listening to me. It's as though something has been moving in your abdominal area. Lipo kosa, I kill it. And I command it to pass out of your body. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I kill you, vomit it out. You defecate it out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, leave those expectations. Mako rasista. Jelika pronda sushta. Leave them up. La sushta polata. Lipa. These are expectations for the week, of this service, that will manifest from now until the week. Shepatola kopato. Ligon skepatola copractosa, shepetola copractoski la capa, shepetola pa. I want your faith to reach out. I want your faith to reach out. I want you to put what you have written down as overriding desires in your heart right now. Shali capa, chocolatiska, licopatosa. As we break bread at this communion table, And as I speak these words, as I release these things to you, you will see those things in your hands. Shapatola kopata, shatopatolata, likopa, ratopateli, zulatopata, piatopa, shatopate, latopaleta, zapatea, zakopa, latopa, zalatosilate, molakibalatopa. I speak in the name of Jesus. I speak in the name of Jesus. For every expectation, every heart desire lifted in this service, Latoba Latosa, Shapatoba, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree and declare that they are torn into testimonies. I decree and declare that they are torn into manifestations. I decree and declare that they are torn into miracles. In the name of Jesus, I release into your hands the expectations of your heart that you have written down. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God for the workings of those miracles. Let the financial miracles be worked. Let the relational miracles be worked. Let the business miracles be worked. Let the scholarship miracles be worked. In the name of Jesus, let the healing miracles be worked. In the name of Jesus, I command those pains, those troubles, to evaporate, to burn and evaporate. In the name of Jesus, return with your testimonies. From this same minute, I command manifestations. In the name of Jesus, I command speedy manifestations. In the name of Jesus, the people you need are coming to you. The monies you need are coming to you. The healing you need is touching your body right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing right now. In the name of Jesus, receive your deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus, receive that help right now. In the name of Jesus, receive that help right now. Receive that yes, yes. There's somebody, what you wrote down has to do with somebody saying yes. A yes being said. An approval being given. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare between today and next week Sunday, you will have the testimony in your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Malaga balada balada basa. Can you give him praise for the answers? Let's have the minister serve communion. Keep the tongues in your mouth. Things are happening. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Miracles are. Somebody who came here with a symptom in your body, the Lord is touching you right now. Those symptoms are disappearing. Let me see your hand. Let me see you wave in the overflow or here. You came to church with a symptom in your body. The Lord is touching you right now. The Lord is touching you. Who is the person? The Lord is touching you. I don't know what it is, but the Lord is touching you right now. The Lord is touching you. You can check the overflow for me. The Lord is touching you right now. The Lord is touching you right now. Somebody is getting healed in the hall. Somebody is getting healed. Somebody is getting healed. That spirit of depression is gone from you. Somebody got to the service this morning with the spirit of depression, with depression, feeling depressed, symptoms of depression is gone from you. In the name of Jesus, in the overflow, the Lord, the power of the Lord is touching someone, bringing healing to you, healing to your mind. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. That person that the Lord is touching, I'll need a wave of hand. You got healed. I'll need a wave of hand. I'll need to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Testimonies everywhere. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Blessed Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your body broken, squeezed, that we may be whole. Thank you for your blood poured out. This is the communion of your blood shed for us. This is the communion of your body broken for us. And this is a testament of our common union with you. We thank you for your power has become our power. Your ability has become our ability. Your riches have become our riches. We give you praise and we give you glory. By this blood we are protected from death. By this body we are preserved from destruction. In the name of Jesus, by this blood we prosper supernaturally. In the name of Jesus, by this blood, favor attends to us. In the name of Jesus, and I decree and declare, no plague shall come near dwelling. No disease shall come near bodies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we are preserved. We are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. In the name of Jesus, thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Your blood, you crushed principalities, Jesus.
Those of you at home, just get your communion elements.
Jesus,
sanctify it. We prayed over it.
By your name,
and join us.
You established authorities. Jesus, Jesus, the righteous, by your blood,
you crushed principalities.
You're
Raga
Keep the tongues in your mouth. Isaiah 48 verse 21. Very quickly. Isaiah 48:21. These are months of flourishing in adversity. Amen. It's a month of flourishing in adversity. It's a month of flourishing in adversity. Listen, it doesn't matter what is happening in the world. For us, we are flourishing. I woke up on Friday morning with those words, 1st of May. It's a flourishing. It's a flourishing. Flourishing in confusion. Flourishing in uncertainties. Flourishing in adversity. Hallelujah. Adversity means difficultness. Difficulty rather. Difficult situation. That's what adversity is. Opposition, pressure. But the Lord says, in this month of May, we are flourishing. We are growing rigorously. We are thriving. It means to prosper. To flourish means to prosper. To flourish means to grow luxuriantly. To grow with luxury. Glory to God. That's what it means. This is the word of the Lord. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to accept it and put it on your lips and focus on it through the month? Or you are going to be looking at your bank account, your company, the government? For me and my house, we will speak these words every day. We are flourishing in adversity. We are flourishing in adversity. Listen, as you speak those words, opportunities will come. As you speak those words, the right relationships will come. As you speak those words, the right connections, the favorable circumstances will be created. Hallelujah. And these are anchor scripture. He said that test not. And they tested not when he led them to the desert. Desert is a picture of adversity. Desert is a picture of dryness. He said, but they thirst not. They were not thirsty. They were not hungry. They were not in need. For them, there was no dryness. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. Ah, listen, say this month, waters are flowing out of the rock for me. Waters talks about supplies. Waters talks about the supply of the Spirit. Waters talks about prosperity. Waters talks about life. Waters talks about prosperity. He said, waters. He caused waters to flow out of the rock for them. That means two things. A rock means something that is hard. That means, listen, monies are coming from difficult places. Did you hear what I said? Opportunities are coming from difficult places. In the name of Jesus, in this month of May, opportunities are coming from difficult places. Monies, resources are flowing from difficult places. In the name of Jesus. And listen, the rock also means Christ. That means from Christ, who is our source, there is supply. He caused waters to flow out of the rock for them. There's supply. Hallelujah. He cleaved the rock also. Makapaya. He caught the rock and waters gushed out. Ah! That means a cup of water is not what we're talking about. Because, okay, cup of water is okay. We're talking about the gushing dimension of waters. He cleaved the rock and waters gushed out. Water, that is flourishing. Say in the name of Jesus, in this month of May, I'm hitting the gusher. In my finances, in my business, in the name of Jesus, in opportunities, I'm hitting the gusher. Waters are gushing out for me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and rejoice.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.